بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our seventh session reading on the topic of التوكل, حقيقة التوكل, by الشيخ العلامة صالح بن فوزان بن عبد الله آل فوزان, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him. And our topic this evening is the continuation and the final part of the subject which we have been dealing for the last few weeks, that is the subject of the necessity, the obligation of combining التوكل على الله, putting one's trust, dependence and reliance upon Allah, along with فعل الأسباب وأخذ بالأسباب, يعني utilizing the means to achieve the goal, يعني to achieve some benefit or to repulse some harm. So the Shaykh, he discussed this particular topic, the necessity of combining between a tawakkul and utilizing the means in some length. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, these are the final comments that he makes concerning this particular portion before next week, inshallah, we go on to يعني another topic, very, very important topic, the topic of يعني the fruits of التوكل. So tonight, inshallah, well, before we go into the topic for tonight, we want to briefly take a look at some of the points that we discussed last week. From questionnaire study guide number 6. So the first question was, discuss how Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah and 60th ayat, how it is a proof of the necessity of utilizing the means, the asbab, along with التوكل على الله. And how did the author use this particular ayat as a proof of the necessity of combining, yani utilizing the means along with التوكل على الله. Okay, so نعم, فضل.
That you have to make preparation of what you can for, of power, and not just have to walk over, meaning of weaponry, machinery, funds, men, etc.
نعم, فضل, فضل, نعم.
You have to make this preparation and not just say we have to walk over and go in without just your best foot forward.
This ayah is a proof, a clear indication of the need of making preparations.
Okay.
Preparations for battle. And these preparations, preparing for the battle, collecting the things that are necessary and needed for the battle, this is a sabab, yani a cause or mean from the means of yani achieving the goal on the battlefield. So the author, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, before mentioning this ayat, he mentioned the fact that if people had put their trust and reliance upon the means totally, then they would be left to that which they depended upon. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, من تعلق شيئا وكل إليه, that whoever attaches something or attaches their heart to something, then they would be left to that thing. So he mentioned that as one area of error, that a person puts their trust totally in the means. And then he said, following that in the next sentence, that if people had abandoned the means completely and claimed to put their trust in Allah alone, this would also be a mistake. That person is also in error if they just claim they're putting their trust in Allah alone and not utilizing the means. And they would not have done what Allah commanded them to do, that is to utilize the means. And then he mentioned this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعَتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. So he said that this ayat is a proof that Allah has commanded us to utilize the means. And whoever didn't do so, then they have erred. They have erred. The second question, since Allah is able to destroy His enemies in a moment, yani in an instant, what is the hikmah, the wisdom, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends by the legislation of jihad? Yani, if we know for a fact, and we do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to destroy His enemies without yani human beings participating in the event, so So what is the hikmah? What is the reasoning, the thinking, the purpose that Allah intends by the legislation of jihad? And actually the Shaykh mentioned three things. Any one of them. Naam, fadlina.
The person with a chance for shahada.
That the Muslim would have a chance to achieve a shahada. Yani that they would have a chance to go out in the way of Allah and to sacrifice their life. Yani to become a shaheed. So this is one of the wisdoms, one of the objectives or the purpose of the legislation of jihad, that the Muslims would have a chance to achieve this high station. And another thing that he mentioned. Yani to separate the munafiqeen from the believers. To separate those who claim iman from those who yani really have iman. Because the people who really have iman, who are sadiq li imanihim, those people are truthful in their iman, then the proof of that is that they are willing to go out in the way of Allah. To sacrifice their wealth and their lives and whatever they possess for the purpose of raising the kalimatullah, yani la ilaha illallah, to make it uppermost in the earth. And the third thing that he mentioned, and not necessarily in that order, but the other thing that he mentioned was that the establishment, yani the legislation of jihad, was so that this act, this great act of worship, yani the actual action of going out fighting in the way of Allah, that it would be established, that jihad would be established. Yani, and this is, as he said, yani that a person is willing to offer their wealth and their life and everything that they possess, yani that this action is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an act of worship. Yani done in obedience to Allah, it's an act of worship, and it's one of the greatest acts of worship. Naam. So these are three things that he mentioned. One, that it would be a test to establish who are truthful in their iman from those who are not, and also so that people could attain the high station of a shaheed in Islam, and also so that the institution of jihad, this act of worship, yani would also yani occur. It would take place. It would be established in the earth. Naam. The third question, which is related to the second question, what is it about sacrificing one's life which causes the author to refer to it as one of the greatest acts of worship? And what is it that a person's sacrificing their life, what is it about that that makes it yani one of the greatest acts of worship? And it's in what he said in reference to the third matter from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in establishing jihad. It is, what makes it a great act of worship is that the person who sacrificed their life, who offers their life in obedience to Allah, yani ta'atan lillahi, this is what makes it one of the greatest acts of worship. Because any people sacrifice their lives for other than that, for yani to take someone's land or to take somebody's property or other than that. But the one who willing to sacrifice their life in obedience to Allah, in doing that which Allah has commanded, this is what makes it one of the greatest acts of worship. Question number four. Which one of the shurut of al-jihad al-shar'i clearly distinguishes it, that is jihad al-shar'i, from al-irhab, terrorism? Yani, we mentioned six conditions for yani the validity of al-jihad al-shar'i, and one of them specifically is related to this question. Naam.
You must have the permission of the ruler.
To have permission from the ruler, from the Imam of the Muslims, the leader of the Muslims, the head of the Muslim state. Naam. From amongst the conditions for the validity of jihad, yani, are that person has to be responsible, that they have to be able, that they have to be male, that they have to be free, that they have to have permission from their parents. And finally he mentioned, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan mentioned, yani, that they have to have permission from the Wali al-Amr, from the Imam al-Shar'i. And this distinguishes yani the legitimate jihad from yani terrorism, where people go out on their own individually or collectively and do things that are outside of what Allah has legislated without the permission of the Muslim ruler. Question number five. Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah, indicates that those who claim iman must be tested. They must be tested. Explain the purpose of this test.
To make it known the truth of those who are truthful in iman and make it known the falsehood of those who are liars.
Naam, to make known, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this test, yani, would make known those who are truthful, who are sadiq in their claim to iman, and those who are liars, kathib, in their claim to iman. Yani, the purpose of this test, for those who claim iman, is to make known those who are truthful and those who are false. The next question, number 6, memorize the ayah which mentions this purpose in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:3. Now, Abdul Wali. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Yani, that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that indeed, yani, would people be left alone and saying they believe in that they will not be tested? And Allah said, indeed, we have tested those before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, so that Allah would make known, Allah already knows everything, but that He would make known in this way those who are truthful, who are sadiq in their iman, and those who are lying. The last question, what happened at Uhud, causing the mushrikeen to abandon the idea of returning to Medina to destroy the Muslims? What took place at Uhud when the pagan disbelievers had considered, had consulted with one another and decided to come, to go back to Medina to, yani, try to exterminate the Muslims? Fadlu Adu.
The Muslims chose to go back out, even though they were injured. And stand and fight against, willing to sacrifice themselves again, even though they were injured.
Put their lives on line again, even though many of them were injured and weak. Naam.
And that caused the disbelievers to waver in their decision to fight against the Muslims.
Caused the disbelievers to waver in their decision, rather to change their decision, to reverse their decision, and to flee. And to flee, because they, yani, because this action from the Muslims, yani, the Shaykh, he said that they went out of Medina when they heard that these people had thought to come back. They went out of Medina and they hastened to go out without delay. And everyone went out, and no one remained behind. Not even those who had been wounded and hurt. Everyone, no one remained behind in Medina, but they all went out. And when the pagan disbelievers realized that the Muslims were pursuing them, then they felt like, yani, that they must have some strength with them. And Allah placed fear into their hearts and caused them to flee and to escape. Now, and the Shaykh mentioned this, yani, as the point that he was making from this, is that it wasn't just claiming to put trust in Allah, but that they did something. They utilized the means to achieve the goal. And they caused the pagan disbelievers to flee, not by saying words or, yani, expressing something, but rather by going out and doing something, getting up and going out and pursuing them. Now, so these are some of the things that we covered last week. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, the Shaykh deals with three matters that we want to look at. The first of them, re-emphasizing again by another ayah from the Quran, the necessity of utilizing the means. That it's not sufficient just to claim that you put your trust in Allah alone. The second thing, the mistake of totally depending upon the means. Totally depending upon the means without putting one's trust in Allah. Yani, these are two sides of the error. Yani, that some people don't utilize the means, and other people rely totally upon the means without putting their trust in Allah. And the third thing that he talks about tonight, and what we're going to read tonight, is, yani, depending upon Allah alone when there are no means. Yani, when a person is in a position where they have no means to utilize, then what? So these are three things. We know that what is required is that a Muslim first and foremost put their trust in Allah, and then they utilize the means that are available, legitimate means that are available. The mistake is that some people claim that they put their trust in Allah and they don't utilize the means. And other people depend totally upon the means instead of depending upon Allah. And what is correct is to first and foremost put one's trust, to rely upon and depend upon Allah alone, and then along with that utilize the legitimate, legislated means. The third, the other situation that the Shaykh mentions tonight is, what if a person doesn't have any means? And if there's nothing to utilize, then in that case, a person puts their trust in Allah alone, as we'll see in what he mentions tonight concerning the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we're going to begin, I don't know what page we're on in English, where the mention of the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd ayah, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. In any case, in Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 277. In fact, I have this book here with me. Let me just look at this quickly and see. Naam. Yeah, so it begins on page 40 in English. I need the second paragraph from the top of the page. The ayat, and Allah said, and the Arabic is mentioned there. That's on page 40. So we're going to read from there. And then in Arabic, we're going to read from the bottom of the page, last paragraph from page 277. So the author, after having mentioned what we ended off with last week, we mentioned that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, following him and going out of Medina to pursue the disbelievers, causing them to flee, he mentions that this result of them fleeing was not due to the absence or the lack of use of the means, rather it was due to the combination of putting their trust in Allah and utilizing the means. And he said that this is how it will always be, forever, and this is the sunnah of Allah amongst in His creation, that whoever puts their trust in Him and utilizes the beneficial means, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause their effort to be wasted, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would honor them, and He will cause them, He will enable them to realize the khair, that they are the good that they are seeking. After that, he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd ayah, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. This ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers to take precautions, to prepare themselves, to be prepared, and be cautious. He said that indeed Allah has prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment. This ayat is revealed in reference to the ayats that talk about the prayer on the battlefield facing the enemy, and how the Prophet ﷺ was instructed to lead some of the believers in prayer while others stand guard, and then the others would come and pray with him while the others stand guard. In that context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers to keep their weapons with them and to take precautions. Unless there was difficulty in doing so, then they were allowed to put them down, but they should still take precautions. And then that's when he says, وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Take precautions. Be cautious. Be careful. Be alert. Be attentive. Don't be unmindful. And indeed, Allah has prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment. The Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says, هَذَا خِطَابٌ لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَسْحَابِهِ. That this speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. He's telling the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions to take precautions. Be careful. Don't be negligent. Don't be inattentive. Pay attention to the enemy. Take precautions from your enemy. And then he said, and these, that is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, he said, they are, وَهُمْ سَادَةُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And they are the masters, the leaders, the best of people in putting their trust in Allah. And yet, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, utilize the means. And they were the best of people who trusted in Allah. And yet he's still telling them, utilize the means. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Take precautions. لا تغفلوا عن العدو. Don't be inattentive or unmindful, negligent of the enemy, saying that we are the Muslims and we are the people who put our trust in Allah, and Allah will suffice us, He will protect us from their harm. هذا لا يجوز. The Shaykh said, this is not permissible that people have this kind of attitude, that they're inattentive of the enemy, that they don't pay attention to the enemy, and that they say, since we are Muslims and we put our trust in Allah, Allah will protect us. We don't have to utilize the means. He said, this is not permissible to be unmindful, to be inattentive of the affairs of the enemy. بل لا بد من ترصد أحواله ودراسة أموره وإعداد العدة لجهاده. Rather, what is necessary is that the Muslims pay attention, that they prepare by paying attention to the affairs of the enemies, studying their affairs, knowing what they are doing, and preparing the things that are necessary, yani to prepare for the battle. Be prepared. وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. The Shaykh says, بِمَعْنَ اِحْذِرُوا عَدُوَّكُمْ. Yani, take precautions, be cautious, be on guard from your enemy, from the enemy. And then he says, وَأَخْذُوا الْحِذْرِ سَبَبٌ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ بَعْدَ التَّوَكُّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani, utilizing or taking precautions, yani this is a means to protect yourself, yani taking precaution is a sabab, is one of the asbab that a person needs to utilize after putting their trust in Allah, after depending upon Allah. Then a person must utilize the means. In this case, this mean, it is taking precautions, being cautious, being careful, being alert, being attentive. فالواجب على المؤمن أن يجمع بين التوكل على الله وفعل الأسباب النافعة ولا يركن إلى أحد الأمرين. So what is obligatory upon the believer, the person who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they combine, that they join these two things together. That is, التوكل, putting one's trust and depending and relying upon Allah, and at the same time utilizing the beneficial means that are available and not leaning to one of those affairs to the exclusion of the other. Not depending upon one of those things to the exclusion of the other. Here the Shaykh, he mentions the second point that we want to talk about tonight, and that is an example in history from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the error and the mistake and the danger of depending totally upon the means, relying upon the means to the exclusion of depending upon Allah. And the first point is what the Shaykh is saying, it is a necessity to utilize the means, and then he's saying, but at the same time, one must not totally rely upon the means. Rather, one must rely totally upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions went out for the Ghazwa Hunain, after the conquest of Mecca, and there was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many armies who had gathered with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had with them quwwa wa silah wa itad wa atad, yani that they had strength with them, and they had yani weapons with them, and they had the war materials, the things that were necessary to make war. وقال بعضهم, so one of them said, لن نغلب اليوم من قلة, yani that we will not be overcome today due to yani our small numbers, due to us being few in number, as the Muslims have been outnumbered in the past in battles. They said, today we will not be overcome due to yani the small numbers that we have. Rather, we have yani, it's reported that the Muslims in the Battle of Hunain were 12,000 and the disbelievers were 4,000. So some people looked at those numbers and said, we can't lose today due to numbers. We will overcome them easily. We are 12,000 and they are 4,000. Even if no one could count the number, it was clear that we outnumbered them by far. So some people imagined that the numbers would be the cause of their victory. But when the Muslims met the Kafirs on the battlefield, and what occurred in the beginning of the fighting occurred, when that happened, that is, that yani there was a great loss on the side of the Muslims to yani the enemy disbelievers. So when this occurred, and the Muslims found themselves in distress and in trouble and besieged and overcome by the enemy, who had used yani a military strategy, yani khadi'a harbiya, a military strategy. The Shaykh, he says that what they did, the enemy held back and waited until the Muslims entered the valley of Hunain, until they entered the valley. And when they entered, then they attacked them viciously, yani with a full force. And they also closed the khat al-raj'a, yani there was no way for them to return. There was no way to get out of the valley. They closed the way to escape, attacked them from the front and closed the way to escape. And this strategy was the cause of them inflicting heavy yani losses on the Muslims. حَصَلَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَمَا حَصَلَ بِسَبَبِ الْإِعْجَابِ بِالْكَثْرَةِ. So what happened, what occurred, the heavy losses of the Muslims in the beginning of the battle, it was due to their yani taking pride, being proud of, yani being rejoicing over their great numbers, thinking that these great numbers that we have are going to be the cause of our success. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 25th and 26th Ayat, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. Yani on the day of Hunayn, the battle of Hunayn, when you people were yani rejoiced, delighted, were astonished at your great numbers, فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا, but it didn't benefit you in any way whatsoever, those numbers. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضِ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, and the earth was as though it was straightened, yani you felt tight, closed in, even though the earth is spacious, due to the harm that had been inflicted upon them, and the fear that many of those people fell into. And of course, many of those people were people who had recently accepted Islam in the conquest of Mecca, and those people joined the Muslims and came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were frightened at what had happened at this point in the battle. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ, and then you turned around, fleeing, yani, in retreat, in defeat. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتُهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and then Allah sent down the sakina, yani tranquility, peace, comfort, upon the Prophet ﷺ and upon the believers. وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and He sent down yani forces, angels, that you didn't see. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ, and He punished those who disbelieved, and that, He said, is the jaza of the kafirin, yani that is the reward, the recompense for those who disbelieved. I just want to mention here briefly some comments from the tafsir of Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, and all of the books of tafsir in commenting on these ayats and this event, and he brought many benefits. But I felt like what Al-Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned was the core of what is yani mentioned in these ayats in the least amount of words. And he said that in these ayats, yani beginning with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدَ لَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ الْحُنَيْنِ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given victory, نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرًا, in many yani places, in many events, the battles that took place previously, Allah had given victory to the Muslims. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ, and even in يوم الحنين, even though on the day of Hunayn, yani in the beginning of the battle, the Muslims were overcome, and then the Muslims defeated them clearly. He said that In reference to these ayat, Ibn Kathir says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to the believers His favor upon them, and His kindness, and His generosity to them, in giving them support and victory. In many occasions, in many battles that they took place, that took place with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ تَعَالَى بِتَأْيِيدِهِ وَتَقْدِيرِهِ. And that these victories that the Muslims enjoyed in the previous occasions when they were outnumbered in terms of personnel and in terms of equipment, he said these victories were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His support and what He had decreed. Not due to your numbers, not due to your weapons of war. And here he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala نَبَّهَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ سَوَاءٌ قَلَّ الْجَمْ أَوْ كَثْرَ. That Allah is bringing to their attention, He's informing them in these words, لَقَدْ نَصْرَكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. Allah has given you victory in many events, many battles that took place before. And that it was from Allah. It wasn't due to your numbers or your preparations or weapons. But the victory was from Allah. And it didn't matter if your numbers were little or great. Yani the victory is from Allah. And indeed, in Yawmul Hanayn, you became yani amazed, pleased, yani confident in your numbers. And he mentions here that the numbers of the Muslims were 12,000 and the numbers of the disbelievers were 4,000. And he said, but in spite of those numbers, yani what happened happened, and the Muslims, yani many of them fled from the scene, yani fled from the battle, from the facing the enemy, except a few of them who were with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the scholars said they were about 100 companions from 12,000 soldiers. Then Allah sent down His support and His aid upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who believe. And then he says, and this is the point that I wanted to emphasize here, he said this, all of this was liyu'lim, لِيُعْلِمَهُمْ, yani so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach them and make them to know أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ تَعَالَى وَحْدَهُ وَإِمْدَادِهِ وَإِنْقَلَّ الْجَمْ. That this was so that Allah may teach them and make them to know that the victory is from Him, Allah the Most High alone, from His support, His help and His aid, and it didn't matter if their numbers were few, that the victory is from Allah. And I think that this event is a tremendous lesson that could be studied for many, many lessons. Yani Shaykh al-Imam al-Sa'di also mentioned some lessons, but yani for the sake of time, then he will go on to what the author has mentioned here in the book. The important point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Muslims a lesson, that the victory is from Allah. It's not due to the numbers of the soldiers or whatever type of war equipment, weapons that they have. Rather, victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though Allah has commanded, as the Shaykh mentioned before he mentioned this incident, He has commanded the believers to take precautions, to prepare for battle. يعني عدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة. يعني make war preparations, but don't depend upon the means, but rather put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَلَمَّا أَعْجَبَتْهُمْ كَثْرَتُهُمْ أَدَّبَهُمُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَهُمْ عِبَادُهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ لَا يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَىٰ السَّبَبُ أَوْ يُعْجِبُ بِقَوْلِهِ أَوْ يُعْجِبُ بِسَلَاحِهِ دُونَ أَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَىٰ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Yani, so when these people became, yani, when they took pride and rejoiced and were happy and amazed at their numbers, Allah taught them a lesson. Even though they are His believing worshippers. And from this, this indicates and points out to us that the human being must not depend upon the cause or the means to a thing. They must not be, yani, overjoyed by their speech or by their weapons or their equipment without putting their trust in Allah alone. So it is of a necessity that both of these affairs are utilized. That is, at-tawakkul ala Allah, the Shaykh says, at-tawakkul ala Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أولاً وقبل كل شيء. That putting one's trust in Allah should be first, and it should be before everything else. That a person's heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are asking and seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and before everything else. ثُمَّ عَدَادَ الْعُدَّةَ الصَّالِحَةَ. And then the preparations of the weapons and the materials that are necessary for the battle. وَبِهَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ لَنْ يُغْلَبَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And with these two affairs in place, yani that first and foremost, the Muslims put their trust in Allah and depend upon Allah and rely upon Allah, and their confidence is in Allah, and then they utilize the means that are necessary, that are beneficial. He said, with these two affairs being in place, then the Muslims would never be overcome by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The third thing that the author, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentions is, in closing this topic, he mentions that what? That there may be some cases in which there are no means. A person doesn't have any means. They don't have anything to use to achieve the benefit or to prevent the harm. In that case, then the person puts their trust in Allah alone. Wa Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam lamma ulqiya fi an-nar alayhi salatu wa salam qala hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. That the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was thrown in the fire, he said, hasbunallah, sufficient for us is Allah, wa ni'mal wakeel, and he is the best of those to dispose of our affairs. So Allah said to the fire, ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, be cool and be safe upon Ibrahim. Be cool and be safe upon Ibrahim. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 69th Ayat. وَهَذَا بِسَبَبِ تَوَقُّلِهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَفْوِيدِهِ الْأَمْرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَوَقُّلِ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ لَا يَمْلِكُ غَيْرَ التَّوَقُّلِ وَاللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يَقُولُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَصْرٌ. Yani that this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Ibrahim from this burning fire by causing the fire to be cool instead of hot and to be safe instead of harming Ibrahim. He said this is the result of his putting his trust in Allah, depending upon Allah and turning his affair over to Allah, leaving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this situation, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't possess anything except tawakkul. He didn't have any means to use to protect himself from the fire. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبٌ. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, then Allah will be sufficient for them. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 3rd Ayah. So the fire التي كانت تسقط الطير من جو السماء من حرارتها وعظمتها قال الله لها يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم وصارت روضة خضراء. So this fire, which due to its intense heat and the magnitude of this fire was so great that it would cause a bird that was in the air to fall out of the sky into the fire. That's how hot it was. Allah said to it, be cool and be safe upon Ibrahim. It became a green garden. And it was though he was sitting in a garden. And this is an important example, yani, that is well known to us, that is of great importance if we consider that it might occur to anyone at any time that they're in a situation in trouble where they're in need of help and they have no means to utilize. In that case, a person puts their trust in Allah alone. And then the Shaykh mentions the hadith, it came in the hadith, yani the wording, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, yani the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, is reported by Al-Bukhari, that these words, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, qalaha Ibrahim heenama ulqiya fi an-nar wa qalaha Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heenama qalu lahu inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum fazadahum imanan wa qalu hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And it's mentioned in the hadith that these words were spoken by Ibrahim alayhi salam at the time when he was thrown into the fire, and they were also spoken by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time when it was said to them, indeed the people, yani the pagan disbelievers, have gathered together, yani armies, a great army, against you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, so fear them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا, but rather, instead of fearing them, it increased them in iman. That is the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and they said, sufficient is Allah for us, and indeed, and he is the best one to dispose of our affairs. And these two incidents, yani the use of these words, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, yani Allah is sufficient for a person in every situation or circumstance, in their worldly affairs and in their religious affairs. Yani if a person is in need of something, of benefit, or fearing something of harm in their worldly affairs, or a person is desirous of doing something of good in their religious affairs, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of getting up in the night, or fasting outside in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, or giving, yani being, yani freely giving from their wealth and charity in the way of Allah. Whatever it is that a person wants to do of good, even in their religious affairs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for that person. Allah is sufficient. A person must put their trust in Allah. Dependence upon Allah is in all of our affairs, worldly affairs and religious affairs, even though yani, this statement and this hadith is in reference to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, in a time of difficulty, in a time of difficulty, of hardship. And that these words are, yani, specifically, especially, I should say, especially, yani, legislated to be used in time of difficulty and hardship. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. However, no doubt, Hasbunallah, Allah being sufficient, is in every situation or circumstance, and He is the best one to dispose of our affairs. And if anyone had any affair that they needed to be taken care of, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best one to place it in with Him. The Shaykh says that the use of these words by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mimma yadullu ala idham at-tawakkul wa annahu a'zam al-udda wa a'zam as-silah bi yad al-mu'min idha tawakkala ala Allah azza wa jalla wa fa'ala ma amara Allah bihi min ittikhadh al-asbab. That the use of these words by these two prophets, yani the Prophet Ibrahim khalilullah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of the prophets and the best of humanity, the use of them, yani their use of these words, is an indication, it points to the greatness of at-tawakkul, the magnificence, the importance of at-tawakkul, and that it is the greatest udda, yani the greatest thing that a person can use as in preparation for anything, and it is also the greatest weapon in the hand of the believer if they put their trust in Allah first and foremost, and then they do what Allah has commanded, that is, in utilizing the means. Yani, if a person puts their trust in Allah and they fulfill the command of Allah to utilize the means, then putting one's trust in Allah is the greatest thing that a person can do. And the Prophet, and then the Shaykh, he closes here with yani these examples of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of humanity. He says, "Wa Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa huwa sayyid al-mutawakkilin ala Allah." Yani the Prophet being the best, the master, the leader of those who put their trust in Allah, kana ya'khudh bil asbab. Nonetheless, in spite of who he was, and he was dependent and reliant and trusting in Allah more than any other human being, nonetheless he used to utilize the means. وَكَانَ يُجَيِّشُ الْجُيُوشِ, and he used to mobilize armies to go to battle. And in the hadith is mentioned that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud that you have called upon your Lord and He will answer you, and He will respond to you, and He will take care of you. And the Prophet ﷺ was supplicating, praying and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was saying, Allah will take care of you. You have called on your Lord and He will answer you. And this is a proof that the Prophet ﷺ, before he went to the battle, first and foremost, he called upon Allah. He asked for help and assistance from Allah. And then, he utilized the means that were necessary for battle, and he went out on the front line of the battlefield. He used to mobilize armies, and he used to gather and collect and prepare weapons of war, and he used to take provisions for journey, and he used to wear body armor, or whatever they used to call it in that time, from hadid. Metal body armor on his body. He used to wear coats of mail. وَفِي غَزْوَةُ الْخَنْدَقِ ظَاهَرَ بَيْنَ ذِرْعَيْنِ مَا أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ قَادِرُ عَلَىٰ يَهْمِيَهُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِالْإِتِّخَاذِ الْأَسْبَابِ. And in the battle of Khandaq, the Prophet ﷺ came out in front of the people wearing two coats of armor. Even though he is the messenger of Allah, and even though Allah is well able to protect him, but Allah has commanded the utilization of means. So the Prophet ﷺ, who was the best of people who put their trust in Allah, he used to utilize the means. He used to mobilize armies. He used to gather the weapons. He used to wear body armor. And in spite of that, and in spite of the fact that he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah was well able to protect him, he utilized the means because this is what Allah has commanded. The shaykh closes by saying, فَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمُ أَن يَتَفَكَّهُ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ لِأَنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ رُبَّمَا يَفْهَمُ أَنَّ مَعْنَى التَّوَكُّلِ عَلَى اللَّهِ هُوَ التَّفْوِيدُ الْأَمْرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَتَرْكَ الْأَسْبَابِ فَيُعَطِّلُ الْأَسْبَابَ الَّتِي جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ أَسْبَابًا نَافِعًا فَيُعَطِّلُهَا ثُمَّ يَنْتَظِرُ النَّتِيجَ وَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. That what is incumbent upon the Muslim is that he understand this particular affair, meaning the necessity of putting one's trust first and foremost in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time the necessity of combining that with utilizing the necessary legislated means, the things that Allah has commanded us to utilize in every situation or circumstance. It is necessary that the Muslims understand this, because some people perhaps may understand wrongly that the meaning of tawakkul is turning one's affair over to Allah and not utilizing the means. And in that case, they would neglect the means that Allah has made to be beneficial causes, beneficial means, beneficial ways to achieving the goal. They would neglect that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made of benefit. And then, after neglecting, utilizing the means, they would wait for some result. They would wait for something to happen. As the Shaykh mentioned in the beginning of this discussion of this particular topic, a few weeks ago we read it, where he said some people, they would not utilize the means. They need provisions to live by, but they won't go out and work. They want to have children, but they don't get married. They want to have crops, but they don't plant anything. They want to win the battle, but they don't go out and fight. They don't get up and go out and fight. So the Shaykh said that the people might misunderstand what tawakkul ala Allah means, and they might think it means just as they claim, they have put their trust in Allah, and Allah will take care of their affair, and they won't do anything, and then they will wait for some result that will never come. He said, this is not correct. هَذَا لَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. This is the end of what we wanted to mention tonight. The next part of the book deals with the fruits of Iman. Since we have a few minutes left, we can take some questions, and at the same time we might also go back and look a little bit at some of the tafsir concerning the ayat from Surah At-Tawbah. Any question that we have about what we mentioned tonight, or any correction or any clarification of what has been said? So also, in terms of the ayats in Surah At-Tawbah, Al-Imam Sa'adi, he mentions concerning these ayats, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. I'm saying, wow. وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمْ بِبَدْرٍ وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ. يعني in another place in the Quran, Allah mentions that He has given success to the believers in the battle of Badr, while they were يعني weak and small in number. In Ali Imran, naam. That ayah begins with wow, and somehow I keep putting wow in this ayah. It should be without wow. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَا كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. Al-Imam As-Sa'di, he says concerning this statement that Hunayn is the name of a place where this event took place. It is between Mecca and At-Ta'if, and between the city of Mecca and the city of At-Ta'if, which is very close to Mecca. إِذَا أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. He said, when the people, they became proud and amazed, astonished at their numbers, thinking that this was going to suffice them, but it didn't help them in any way. The Shaykh, he says, it didn't benefit them at all. قَلِيلًا وَلَا كَثِيرًا. Not even a little or much. No benefit came from their numbers. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضِ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. يعني, it was as though the earth was straightened, was tightened upon them because of what had been inflicted upon them. Yani of the, yani the defeat from the enemies in the early part of the battle, even though the earth was spacious. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. That is, مُنْهَزِمِينَ. Yani they turned back and fled, yani in defeat. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتُهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then Allah sent down the sakina on His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on the believers. Yani that sakina which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in the hearts at the time when they were troubled and disturbed and in distress and shaken, to make them firm. To make them firm. Allah sent down sakina to make them firm. And to give them yani tranquility and comfort. And this is from the tremendous favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His worshippers. That in that kind of situation, Allah sends down upon them, yani, that which calms them. وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And He also sent down forces that you didn't see. And these are the malaika. Allah sent down the malaika in support to help the Muslims on the day of Hunayn, to make them firm, and to give them the bushra, the good news of victory, that they would win the battle. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And He punished the disbelievers by defeat, and by being killed, and by the Muslims overcoming them, and taking their women, and their children, and their wealth. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And this is the recompense of the disbelievers, yani that Allah punished them in this world, and then He will return them in the next life to a terrible, tremendous any punishment also in the next life. And this is part of what Al-Imam As-Sa'di mentions concerning this. And this is the last half of what he mentions. The other half is also beneficial, but yani, we'll skip for now. So I'm going to suffice with this for tonight, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And just mention that next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to mention what is the last main topic that the author mentions, that is the fruits of a tawakkul. And he also mentions briefly yani the difference between tawqeel and tawakkul. And then they are also added at the end of this book. There are some question and answers, some fatawa from Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, which we'll also go through. And perhaps also some few fatawa related to the same topic, dealing with some other areas that are not dealt with in the fatawa that are mentioned here, from Sheikh Abdul Razak, son of Sheikh Abdul Muslim Abbas, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, in a topic that he presented related to yani, the same subject. There were also some questions and answers that he responded to, which also of benefit. Inshallah, we'll conclude with that. And perhaps, with those fatawa, and maybe two fatawa of Sheikh Al-Imam As-Sa'di, related to utilizing the asbab, and that these utilizing the asbab, the causes or the means, is not in contradiction with the qadr of Allah, yani the qadr of Allah and His qadr. So that will be the end of this particular topic. So probably next week we'll do the fruits of tawakkul, and then after that we'll do the fatawa of the Shaykh and some of the question and answers and any that also related to the topic from Shaykh Abdul Razak. This will be the conclusion of our topic. So we're going to stop here today. If anybody has a question, we have a final opportunity. Any question, any correction, or any comment? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.